Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Bob, we've had some warm weather this week. Sun's out, guns out, right?
That's right. Yeah. It is the gun show.
Exactly.
Welcome to the Grilling Guys. Thanks, Jop. We failed to, honor the loss of 9/11 on the last show somehow, because it was a couple days after.
Right.
We kind of had already done our grieving or whatever and forgot to mention all those folks out there that are still suffering from that tragedy. And I guess all of our lives are changed forever, just like those in the Pearl Harbor generation. And I guess I just want to say, don't forget about 9/11. And
ever.
Today is the gun show, and there's a correlation there.
Sure there is. Sure there is. We take our right to bear arms pretty damn seriously. You and I do. We have a I have a not quite as large of an arsenal as you do.
I think it's pretty comparable.
But I enjoy the sporting side of my firearms.
Most of your guns are still in the box.
Right. Yeah. I have won a few. I've been fortunate enough at some banquets to win a few. And
didn't you just win one the other night again?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you lost?
No, I did not win.
That's a first.
Right. But I do have some pretty nice firearms that have yet to have a round put through them. So I don't know
why. That could be a man law.
Right. It could be. But I'm good, but I don't know why I do that. I just, I guess if I don't have a purpose to go shoot it, I don't.
I get it. And the cost of ammo, I mean, you keep buying all these boxes at 30, 40 bucks a box, and
right.
After a while, it's like, why am I going to waste a round? I'll just go shoot something cheap like my 9 or my 22.
Right, yeah, 38, whatever it may be, yeah.
Right, some wad cutters.
Yeah.
So, did you do any grilling this week?
You know, I did do a little bit of grilling, and this will be the third week that we've talked about this, and I promise it'll be the last, but I finally busted open the spaghetti squash.
Nice.
And what I did is put a little olive oil. They do have normal guts like every other squash does.
There's
seeds and guts that you pull away, but oiled it up, salt, pepper, and garlic, put it face down on the grill. And grilled it on about a medium heat for about 35 minutes. Perfect, man. Had grill marks on it, and it had a little bit of char. And when I ate it, it was wonderful. And all I did was just strip it out of there with a spoon, and it comes out looking like spaghetti.
Did you make a spaghetti sauce for it?
No, I didn't. I just ate it right out of the shell, if
really,
you will.
Really? Because you had garlic oil on it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. It was good. It was really good.
You could even throw a little butter and bacon on it.
I'd never done one, and that's what I grilled. Yeah, right. That's what I grilled, and it was good. And I got one more. I bought two of them, and I ate one night and ate it the next day.
Yeah,
right.
Do a little marinara, and next thing you know, it's time for beer of the week.
Beer of the week from our friends at Siciliano's on Lake Michigan Drive in west of Grand Rapids. What do we got here? Yeti. These are coolers. That's not a brew. What's going on? This beer is called Yeti.
Yeti Imperial Stout.
Right, and by the Great Divide Brewing Company in Denver, Colorado.
They make beer in Colorado.
By golly, they do. So what you thinking about it? I haven't cracked mine yet. About to do it.
You know, I have had this before, and I honestly love it. It goes for about $2.79 a can, and so it's a little pricey, but I love stouts. And when you start getting the cool nights and the bonfires, which I'll be having tonight, a stout just... Especially an imperial stout.
Right. It's got a dark chocolate look to it.
Really
it's
hits
got almost like a malty foamy head on it. And
it's
I'm going to tell you what it is.
Malty foamy head. There's one.
It looks like a malted milk.
There's
right?
one for the books right there.
Right. It looks like the head on it looks like a malt.
How's that head? Malty foamy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I think he likes it.
Well, it's stout.
Oh, yes.
There's no
question.
It's
the key word is imperial.
Right.
So it's going to have some horsepower.
Right, extra horsepower.
I smoked a chuck last week, and I love smoking chuck roast. If you have never done it, just especially when you can find them on sale, it's one of the best proteins you can buy. Now, what I might do sometimes is cut it into pieces when you see those large veins of fat, and just cut those right out of there and just rub them individually and set them on your smoker so you get rid of all the grease, right? You're not going to eat the fat. If you are, keep it whole, but I don't need the fat. I have plenty. And I also like getting all the seasoning all around it and all the bark all the way around it. It's like it's a lot like brisket. I don't know if it's maybe even better.
Well, I am – this might be a sin to talk about, but brisket's not my favorite cut of meat on a smoker.
Oh, you shouldn't say that on the radio.
I know, but chuck, I like. I think it's just got a beefier flavor. It probably got done quicker, right? Because it's only like a, what, 2-inch thick cut?
Yeah, 5 hours.
Right, right.
It's half the time.
Yeah. And how'd you serve it? Did you slice it? Does it fall apart like pot roast?
Well, this one actually made it to the kitchen, because very often when I do those, it doesn't make it to the kitchen because I have these buzzards around my grill all the time.
Right.
But I was fortunate the boys were gone, and so Maureen and I got to eat some.
Right.
Also grilled some scallops, which were fantastic. I found one pack of those scallops that my buddy Bob gave me, and so basically thawed them, put a little garlic EVO and some black pepper on them, and a little touch of sea salt, and threw them shell side down, shut the lid, and left them in like 10 minutes.
So those are on the half shell,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. They're really cool. You can buy them that way.
Right.
And a scallop shell is really pretty. It looks like a Shell Oil Company logo.
Right.
And you just don't want to leave them on too long. They cook really quickly.
So you did salt, pepper, and EVO on them?
Yep.
That's it?
Yep, garlic EVO.
Now, were they loosened from the shell, or were they still?
That's a great point. Yeah. I always scrape them so that they're easier when they cook, because you don't need them to weld further.
Right.
They already have a little spot weld on them.
Right.
So you want to break that free and get that oil under them. And garlic EVO is what I chose. You could use your Meyer lemon or whatever you want from Old World Olive Company.
So that was lid down to get a little convective heat on them, almost like an oven rather than a
absolutely,
grill.
Absolutely. Right? And not even any smoke, just getting the natural patina from an older grill and getting that what we call the grill effect, or people call it savory.
Right.
There's all kinds of terms, but your grill builds up a patina, which is why you never want to power wash it or use soap on it or anything. You leave that in there.
Right.
Just scrape off a little if it's starting to fall on your food.
Right, yeah. Shut the lid hard and it'll fall off, and
yeah,
then you're good, right?
Did a
yeah
little bow practice this week.
Oh, yeah, I did that too. I forgot to tell you about that.
I got my two targets out and a nice bale of straw, which I had left over from landscaping. So I had a little backer, because
mm-hmm,
I hate going down the hill trying to find arrows. I never find them.
I just
them
got a bag target, you know, one of those that's got the stuffing in it, and
right,
it's got the five bullseyes on the front of it. And you just,
I have cubes.
Shoot into one of those.
Your first shot or two, or every now and then when I'm backing up, I'm trying to train myself for get back into the 65-yard shots. And
Your bow?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm calling BS on that.
No.
65-yard shot. Yeah, I noticed you just bought some binoculars. Word up, if you got to use binoculars when you're bow hunting, the deer's too far away.
Well, what I used to do for my 65-yard shot, and this sounds crazy, but I used to put it in my garage so it would hit the back wall if I missed.
Yeah, if you missed.
Made
that's
the
because
dog
you're
nervous.
I don't know what your bow is, but you're lobbing them out there at 65,
it's from,
brother.
It's from Allen Bob's. It's a beautiful Bowtech. And it's a sweet machine.
Right.
If you bow hunt a lot, you'll more than likely set up notches for at least 55 for your long. And I train myself to go for 65. It's not that hard. It's just
how do you range
it
that? Are you using a range finder to determine where the deer is?
Got
out
that
there?
At Allen Bob's.
Because you're 5-6 inches of aim difference between 55 and 65 yards with a bow.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your notch? No, it's just another little peg.
But yeah, for your notch. I'm talking about...
You know what else I got at Allen Bob's?
Hard telling.
I got Jake Beecham. He's sitting right next to me.
Okay.
He's coming back in the show, so we're going to talk to Jake, and it's the gun show, baby.
Yeah, Jake's a resident firearms expert, which is always good to have on the show. So coming up next is High Caliber Bob and a guy named Mike Lewis. Stick with us. We'll be back. Grew up on a dirt road.